Holding on, Hey Amud Beis, the Mishnah. The last Mishnah we talked about, Chumras, where the Chumras in Truma over Kodshim. The first Mishnah of the Perek and talked about Chumras, about Milus, 10 or 11 Milus of Kodshim over Truma. The next Mishnah talked about, on the other hand, we have cases where we trust Amir Oretz as far as Kodshim, but not Truma, and now continuing on that topic of when we trust Amir Oretz, even though usually we wouldn't. The Mishnah says, Mina Maidim Velifnim, from Maidim, that's the famous city of the Pashtus, the famous city of Maidim, where the Chashmonaim were from, whatever it is, whether it's that or someplace else, anyway, from there in the direction of Yerushalayim, which the Gemara elsewhere mentions, it actually brings, is 15 mil. The modern city of Maidim is a good deal more than 15 mil, would be about 10 miles. The modern city of Maidim is a good deal further from Yerushalayim than that, so maybe it's not in the same place. Whatever the case, good morning, Avraham Moshe. So from Maidim and further in towards Yerushalayim, Ne'emon and Al Klei Cheres, we trust even Amei Ha'aretz when they're selling earthenware kalim, we trust them that those kalim were done b'tahara and were able to buy them and use them in Yerushalayim. The reason we were able to use them for Kodshim and for Terumah. The reason is, Rashi says, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, you're not allowed to, there's a number of rules in Yerushalayim that don't apply anywhere else. One of them is you're not allowed to have their ovens, kilns, for making earthenware, because those produce a lot of smoke, and the smoke is going to blacken the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, practically speaking, anybody who wants earthenware, kalim in Yerushalayim, and that was most of the kalim people used in those days, were made of earthenware. So therefore, they would have to buy them from people outside Yerushalayim. And therefore, so if the Chachamim were to say that you couldn't buy them from Amei Ha'aretz, only from Chaberim, it would be an example of a Gzeira She'en Revat Tzibur Yecholim Lamed, but most people wouldn't be able to handle such a Gzeira, because what are they going to do? You constantly, the Gemara is going to distinguish, actually, between small and larger Kalim. We're talking primarily over here, smaller Kalim. For example, pots, cups, bottles, jugs, things like that, as opposed to, the Gemara is going to talk about later, gigantic kalim. Like you go sometimes to museums and you see these gigantic earthenware, you see these gigantic earthenware kalim that they use for storing huge amounts of wine or oil or whatever. Those, the Gemara is going to say later on, there are different rules for those. But what we call klei cheres hadakim, small klei cheres, those, since you can't buy them in Yerushalayim, because nobody's allowed to run a pottery oven in Yerushalayim, necessarily you have to buy them from people outside the city, and therefore the Chachamim are going to allow you to buy them from an Amei Ha'aretz as long as he's from Maidim and closer to the city. So within 15 mil of the city of Yerushalayim. But outside Maidim, then we don't trust them, because then you have the usual rule that the kalim that an Amei Ha'aretz handled are assumed to be tamei. Ketzad, so what does this mean? And now, by the way, we're saying from Maidim inward and from Maidim outward. What about in Maidim itself? We'll see in the Gemara. Ketzad, so what does this mean? Hakadar shu moichar akderis. You have a potter is selling pottery, is selling kderis, means pots, but it means any of the other kind of small clay cheres that we were talking about. Nichnas lefnim min Maidim. So if that seller comes closer to Yerushalayim than Maidim, who hakader, as long as it is the same potter, meaning that he came from outside Maidim and now he's traveling closer to Yerushalayim and he still has his pots with him. So in other words, as opposed to, Rashi says, if he were to give them to another potter, then not. But if it's the same potter who made them and he's now traveling from beyond Maidim to past Maidim, v'hein hakaderes, and it's the same pots, meaning that he can't, for example, go on his way, buy pots from another potter and add them to his stock, and at the same buyers, meaning that the chaverim who want to buy them see that he brought them and they're the same ones who saw him traveling from before to here to Naaman, then we trust him and they're able to buy these pots from him. The Rambam has a different explanation of this phrase, hu akadar vehin akderes vehin haloichin. It means even though it's the very same potter, where he's traveling from one place to another, and we can see it, the same potter, the same pots, and we're the same buyers, and we see him in one place versus another, but we're only allowed to buy from him when we're closer to Yerushalayim than Median. We're not allowed, even though it is the exact same potter, might be then traveling away from Yerushalayim and passing Median, we still can't buy his pots from him, even though you're going to say, I mean, it's the same pot, it's the same potter. If we trusted him in one place, why shouldn't we trust him in another? Nevertheless, that's how the Gzeira of the Chachamim works. Yotze in a Neman, so the Mishnah finishes off. If he leaves the area, if he leaves the area of Median, if he goes further away from that and then comes back in a Neman, then we don't trust him anymore that his pots are tahor. Then we have the usual rule that we can only buy from a chok. So now again, we said in the Mishnah, we said beyond Median, we said closer in than Median. What about Median itself? Tana, so we learn in a Braisa, Merdiyim, Pa'amim, Kalifnim, Pa'amim, Kalachot. Sometimes, for certain purposes, Merdiyim is considered like areas closer to Yerushalayim, and you're able to buy the pots from the guy without having to worry about Tumah V'Tahara. And sometimes, Pa'amim, Kalachot, sometimes it's considered like the areas further away. We have to remember, of course, that this whole thing of that you're not allowed, that there would be a problem buying the pots from him to begin with, is only Dirabanan. Daraisa, there's no particular reason to assume that the Amah Oretz is Tomei. The whole concept is we're talking Tumas Amah Oretz is Dirabanan, because we're concerned that he's not careful with Tumah V'Tahara, and therefore he may have become Tomei without realizing it. So given that it's a Din Dirabanan, then the Rabbanan, the same Rabbanan who made the rules, can also impose them in some cases and relax them in some other cases. So the Mishnah, so the Gemara says, Ketzad, what does this mean? Kader Yotzev Chover Nichnas, if the potter is on his way out, that is on his way out from beyond Median, and he comes in, Yotze, he's coming from outside, he's going from outside Median and coming into Median, v'chover nichnas, meanwhile a chover is, or the other way around rather, the kader is going outward from Yerushalayim, he's on his way, leaving Yerushalayim, and he goes into the city of Median, v'chover nichnas, meanwhile the chover is coming from the opposite direction, heading towards Yerushalayim and comes into Median, kilifnim, then Median itself is considered like further in. Because, in other words, then you're allowed to buy from this potter and assume that the kalim are tahor and bring them to Yerushalayim and use them for your truma or kodshim. The reason is because, basically, Rashi says, im lo yachshavei masai, when are you going to have another opportunity? The guy is leaving, you're going to be crossing paths. So if you don't buy from him now, you're not going to have another opportunity. You're not necessarily going to find another potter between here and Yerushalayim, again, given that you're not allowed to have pottery kilns in Yerushalayim itself. So therefore, you're allowed to buy from them. On the other hand, Shneim Nichnasim, but if both of them are heading from beyond Modiim and passing and coming into Modiim, so then in that case, so don't buy from him in Modiim. Wait until you're past Modiim, and then you'll have the din that it says in our Mishnah that when you're between Modiim and Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to trust him on his Kleferes. So then we don't give him the dispensation of buying them in Median, because now it's not Imlay Akshavim Masai. Now you have the option of buying them when you're walking a little further along. Oishnei and Yotzim, or if both of them are leaving, both of them are traveling away from Yerushalayim. So you would have had the option, you could have bought from him before he came to Median. Now they came to Median, and all of a sudden you realize, you know what, I need to buy Kleferes. Too late. And Rashi says, all the more so, if it's the other way around, if the potter is coming toward Yerushalayim and the chover is leaving, so then wait until the potter, so wait until the potter passes Median and is closer to Yerushalayim, and then you, chover, turn around and go and buy from him then, if you doubt the need to buy. So then, in those cases, kalachot, in all those cases, then Median is considered like the areas away from Yerushalayim. So the only out of the four possibilities, depending which way the potter is going and depending which way the chover is going, the only one where you'll be able to buy from him in Modiim itself is only if you, the chover, are coming towards Yerushalayim and the potter is going away from Yerushalayim. In all other cases, you would have to buy from him between Modiim and Yerushalayim, not in the city of Modiim itself. Obviously, again, we're talking about only when you're buying them. Good morning, Yaakov. We're talking about when you're buying them for purposes of truma or truma or kodshim or ma'aser sheni or what have you. Obviously, if you're buying them for cholin and you're not one of those people who eats cholin on Taharas HaKodesh, then it doesn't much matter. Let the pots be tame. It doesn't matter. They're not going to be tame your food anyway. So Omer Abaye, Afa Nan Nami Tanena. Abaye says, in fact, we can see this distinction not only from the Braisa, we see it in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah had said, "Hakadosh Shemachar is Akdeiros." A potter is selling his pots. The Nichnas Lefnim Min Amadiyim. That he came closer than Modiim, he's between Modiim and Yerushalayim, and then we're saying you're allowed to buy from him, Taima Delifnim and Amadiim. So evidently the Mishnah is implying that only because he's closer than Modiim are you allowed to buy from him, Ho Modiim Gufaloi, Loi Meheiman, implying that if he's in Modiim itself, we wouldn't believe him that his pots were made Batara, unless of course he's a Chavar, but most potters were Amearis. But Ema Sefer, but then look at the next part of the Mishnah, continues Abaya, Yotze Einan Neman, where the Mishnah says if he goes out, meaning implying that he leaves Modiim, then he's not believed. Ha Modiim Gufa Neman, implying that in Modiim itself he would believe him. So don't the two parts of the Mishnah contradict themselves? One seems to imply that in Modiim itself it's fine, and the other that not. Ela Lab Shmamina. So it must be that we can derive from that that Mishnah is making exactly the same distinction as the Braisa. That when do we trust him in Modiim itself? When the potter is leaving and the chover is coming, whereas the second part of the Mishnah that says, or the first part of the Mishnah rather, that implies that you don't trust him even in Modiim, is talking about when both of them are leaving or both of them are coming. So again, when both of them are leaving, as Rashi said, you missed your opportunity. You could have bought from him while he was between Modiim and Yerushalayim, and you didn't, so you lost your opportunity. And if you're both coming closer to Yerushalayim, then fine, wait till you're past Modiim and then buy from him. Shmamina, so that proves it, that there is that distinction. So sometimes you're allowed to buy from him in Modiim, sometimes you're not. Okay. Now, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, When it comes to Kodesh, we trust them about small Klei Cheres. Meaning, now Rashi says like this, all this time we've been saying that Gasim versus Dakim means big ones, for example, the kinds that you use to store large amounts of wine, versus small ones, the kinds that you use on a day-to-day basis, pots and cups and things like that. Rashi brings a second explanation that he heard from his Rebbeim, that dakin over here means ones where the opening of them is so small that you wouldn't be able to fit your finger inside it. So then, in that case, so there's less concern, given that a kli cheres doesn't become tummy from the outside, only from the inside, then therefore, Rashi says, as Rebbeim learned, unless the container has an opening wide enough to stick a finger into, then there's no possibility that the Amorites touch the inside of it, and therefore there's no reason to say that there would be a problem with it. However, Rashi doesn't like that explanation, because the Gemara is going to say in a minute that even if we do see that he put his finger or his clothing or whatever inside there, we still trust that it's Tahor. So therefore, it can't be that distinction. So it has to be, Rashi says, the distinction between small ones that are used on a day-to-day basis, like cups and pots and bottles, versus large ones that are used for long-term storage of wine and oil and things like that. So the Braisa says, Nemanin b'klei cheres adakin l'kodesh. When it comes to kodesh, we're trusting them regarding small klei cheres, because you're constantly needing them. Further on the Omud, Rashi points out that you need, for example, people who live in Yerushalayim and are producing wine and oil to sell to people or to give to people to use for nesachim, so they need small containers to put that in. And Rashi also adds, people who live in Yerushalayim are cooking shlomim; they need pots to be able to cook the shlomim in, and they need them on a constant basis, because you have another issue as well. Whenever you cook kodshim in a pot, then afterwards you have to kasher it, because otherwise the material, the substance of the food, the molecules of the food that got absorbed into the pot become noiser. What? So a klei cheres, exactly, you can't. The only thing you can do is break it. So therefore in Yerushalayim they had a constant need for pots and other small containers like that. So therefore, and again, since we said you can't make them in Yerushalayim itself, so therefore we're saying we can trust the Amei Haaretz and we can buy from them between Modiim and Yerushalayim. And by the way, it doesn't only mean Modiim. That was just a particular landmark on the road in one direction of Yerushalayim. It means the same. Generally, when the Gemara says that, it usually means the same distance in any other direction. So whatever other direction you're traveling from Yerushalayim, if you're closer to Yerushalayim than Modiim is to Yerushalayim, then you'd be allowed to. So Omer Reish Lakish Vushini Tolin B'Yodei Ach. So the Shlokesh says, what do we mean by klei cheres hadakim is only if they're small enough to be picked up with one hand. Rabbi Yechanan, Apilu she'ini tolim yada achas. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even if they're too large to pick up with one hand, but they're not these gigantic kelim that are used only for long-term storage of wine or oil or whatever, then you'd be allowed to buy them from the Amoretz. And of second machlokas, Amar Reish Lakish loishanu ela rekanin. Furthermore, Reish Lakish said you can only buy them from the Amoretz only if they're empty. Ava malein loy, but not if they're filled, because if they're full, then they're full of liquid that the Amoretz put in there, wine or oil or what have you. And we can't necessarily trust his tara. We learned previously that we can trust his tara during the pressing season, or as we're going to say in the next couple of Mishnayos, or during Yom Tov itself, but not the rest of the year. So therefore, so if they're full of liquid, then not. But Rabbi Yochanan Omar, but Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilu meleim, even if they're full, even if you have his afikorsusai inside the container. Now Rashi over here doesn't seem to clearly define what afikorsusai is. Rashi just says afilu malayan mashkin shalosha and shal kodesh, even if it's full of his own mashkin, which are not kodesh, but that doesn't really define what afikorsusai is. In fact, it seems maybe that the words afilu afikorsusai desoichai are not a dibra maskel in Rashi; they're really a continuation of the previous Rashi. So in other places, Rashi explains that afikorsusai means his head scarf, the turban or the scarf or whatever that he would wear on his head. So even if you have, now in Amoretz it's clothes, we learned before, or tomei, because we don't know, because the Amoretz is not careful on Tumah V'Tahara, but in this case, even if an edge of his afikorsusai is hanging down into the container, so you would say, well then for sure the container is tomei, it has clothes of an Amoretz inside it. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yechanan says, we still trust him on the tara of the container. We still trust him to say that he was careful to make sure that his turban didn't become tomei. The Aruch explains afikorsusai rather not as a turban, but rather as an undershirt. Same idea though. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, even in that case, we still say that we can trust the Amoretz that the keli itself is tahor. Omar Rava who murdered Rabbi Yochanan b'mashkin atzman shehen tahor shehen tmei. Rabbi Yochanan does agree about the liquid itself that's in the container that they would be tamei. So he would say, in other words, so you bought this full container from the Amoretz, you are going to have to treat the liquid in the container as tomei, because after all it was handled by an amoretz. But the chachamim are allowing you to consider the container itself as tahor. But al tisma, don't be so surprised about that, says Rava. Shari login mole mashkin, because we had a case a few days ago where on Daf Chof Beis, we had a machlokes b'shamay b'shillel on the subject, where we said b'shillel ended up agreeing with b'shamay, where you have a kli cheres that belongs to an amoretz blocking a skylight between the bottom floor and the second floor of a house. And we said, that you had a case over there where there was a bottle, suppose in the upper floor, there was a bottle, a wooden bottle, let's say, which is makabel tumah, and it was full of liquid. So login mole mashkin. So we said login tmei tumas shiva. So Bes Shammai had said, and that ends up being the halacha, that the bottle becomes tomei for 7 days. Meaning, so with the case we had over there was you had a mess in the bottom floor, in the ground floor of the house. You had a kli cheres of an amoretz blocking the skylight between the ground floor and the second floor. In the second floor, you had a bottle, a wooden bottle, let's say, full of liquid. And Bes Shammai had said that the kli cheres, being that it's the kli cheres of an amoretz, it can't block the tumah completely because it itself is tomei, and the rule is kli tomei eini choytzet. It's a keli that tomei cannot block tumah. However, Bet Shammai had said the liquid in the bottle would remain tahor. The bottle itself would become tamei. We said the svara over there was because if you, the chaver, later on want to borrow the bottle from the amoretz, you're going to know, look, it's a keli of an amoretz. I have to tovel it, and maybe even have it sprinkled with paradrum water before I use it. As opposed to the liquid, you're not going to be able to borrow from him anyway because you know liquids can't become tahor. There's no way of toveling them in a mikveh. So therefore, you're not going to borrow them from him in the first place. So the same way over there as we can say that the bottle is tomei and the liquid inside is tahor, the same way here we can say the other way around that the container Rabbi Yochanan would say is tahor and the liquid inside it is tomei. In fact, actually, Rabbeinu Chananel So that's the thing. Usually, so no, but midaraisa liquid can't make a keli tamei anyway. Only midrabanan it could. Midrabanan liquids are usually a rishon, and they can be matame keli. But here, the Rabbi Yochanan is saying the chachamim themselves, allowed you to buy this pot from the out of this pot or this container from the amaretz. So we don't even care if there's liquid inside. You're gonna have to spill out the liquid, or you're gonna have to use it as chulin. You find you're allowed to eat chulin that are tamei, but it won't affect the container itself. By the way, actually, Rabbeinu Chananel has a gusa the other way around. He says, if not, our gusa that we have in the Gemara is Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing that even though the container is tahu, he still agrees with Rish Lakish that the liquid is tamei. Rabbeinu Chananel has a gusa the other way around. That Rish Lakish is saying, even though we can't trust them about the full Kli Cheres, nevertheless, even though we can't trust them about the Kli Cheres, we can trust them about the liquid. And therefore, the example of the bottle and the liquid is exactly the same thing. The same way as we say over there, the bottle is Tomei and the liquid is Tahar, the same way Rish Lakish would say over here, the Keli is Tomei, but the liquid inside is Tahar. So that's that then. So the bottom line is you are allowed to, in some cases, because of the shortage of clay cheres in Yerushalayim, then therefore you're allowed to buy them from an amaretz under certain conditions, and assume that they are tahor and use them even for Kodesh. Next, the Mishnah continues. Here's another example of trusting amaretz or even Rishoyim about Tumah V'Tahara. The Mishnah says, "Hagaboyin shenichdesu l'seich habayis." If collectors come into the house, Rashi explains that it means tax collectors. So these are Jews who are collecting taxes on behalf of a goyish king. There is a different explanation that some Mepharshim say actually that it means gaboy tzedakah. Whatever the case, shenichdesu l'seich habayis, they went into the house. And the problem is we don't know what they touched inside the house. The same way if thieves previously had stolen from the house and now they're returning what they stole. The Gemara is going to explain later that we're talking about where the thieves are doing tshuva. We trust them to say that they didn't touch anything else in the house. Now, Rashi says we're talking specifically, we trust them as far as Kodesh, but we don't trust them as far as Truma. So this would be another case where we have a Chumrah of Truma over Kodesh. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns that we are talking about both Kodesh and Truma. Both Rashi and Tosfos agree that we don't trust them. We don't trust them as far as things involving Parah Druma, because there you need a higher standard of Tara. But in other words, the idea is Rashi says that these people are used to being around Truma. These Gaboyim, they're regularly going collecting taxes. In particular, the Gemara mentions in other places that many times these Gaboyim, these people who are collecting taxes, were not always the most honest people. So we don't trust them as far as Truma V'Tahara. But in this particular case, we do. We trust them to say in Yerushalayim, saying even outside Yerushalayim, we trust them to a certain extent to say that they didn't touch things beyond what they were supposed to, as we'll see in the Gemara why. Yerushalayim ne'eman and ala kodesh. Now in Yerushalayim, we trust them regarding kodesh, and we'll see in the Gemara what that means, because we already said that we're trusting them as far as kodesh even outside Yerushalayim. So we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Over shasa regel. And during Yom Tov, Afala Truma, we will trust them even as far as Truma, because as the Gemara is going to say, Ami Ha'aretz are considered Tahor during the Yom Tovim, for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Uramini, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me in our Mishnah that if these Gaboyim, these tax collectors, come into the house, then we trust them to say that they didn't touch anything that they weren't supposed to. Uramini, but I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Taurus. The Mishnah there says, "Hagaboyin shenichnesu l'seich habayis." If tax collectors come into a house, habayis kulei tomei, then everything that's in the house is tomei, because likely the gaboyim, these tax collectors, are looking and opening up everything and checking inside things to make sure that the guy is not evading taxes and he's not keeping things that he should have to pay taxes on or whatever. So what are we saying in our Mishnah that we trust them to say that they didn't touch? And the answer is like Kasha. The difference is whether there's a goy together with them or not. Now what's the difference? So Rashi explains like this. If there's a goy with them, they're afraid to not do their job properly, and their job includes opening up all the containers and all the barrels and all the everything and checking if there's anything that the guy is trying to evade taxes. So therefore, so now we can't trust them to say they didn't open anything. They would be afraid of the goy because he's going to tell them to do their job properly. The Rambam learns the other way. Rebbe Chananel and the Rambam learns the other way around, actually. That if the goy is with them, he's going to make sure, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that they're not going to do any more than they're supposed to. Their job is to come into the house and tell you, you owe X amount of taxes, pay up. Their job is not, according to the way that Rebbe Chananel and the Rambam learn, their job is not to open up everything and rummage through everything. Therefore, Fakev, if the goy, their supervisor, is with them, he's going to make sure they don't do that, as opposed to if there's no goy yet. So that's according to the Rambam. So Rashi and the Rambam are exactly the opposite as far as what the presence of the goy does. According to Rashi, the fact that the goy is there makes it they're more likely to rummage through everything because they're afraid he's gonna report on them to the king that they're not doing their job properly. And according to the Rambam, the other way around, he's gonna make sure that they stick exactly to what they're supposed to do. Yeah. So Ditnan, as in fact the Mishnah there continues in Taras. If there's a goy with them, then we can trust them if they say we didn't come into this house at all. But we don't trust them to say that we came in and we didn't touch anything. So therefore, so we see that the presence or the absence of a goy makes a difference. Now, the question is, what exactly does it accomplish if a goy is there? So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar argue on what the presence of the goy does. One says they're afraid of the goy himself. According to Rashi, we're talking about that the goy himself might punish them if they're not doing their job. According to the Rambam, I guess it would also be that way, but the difference is, what do we consider to be their job? According to Rashi, the goy wants them to rummage through everything, and therefore, if they don't do it, then he's going to punish them himself. Or according to the Rambam, the other way around, their job is not to rummage through everything, and therefore, if they do, then he's going to punish them. The other says it's not that they're afraid of the goy himself, they're afraid of the king, that he might go and tell on them to the king. Well, the Gemara says, my benayu, so what's the practical difference between these reasons? And the answer is, if he's an unimportant goy. So they don't have to be afraid of him. He doesn't have any power over them directly, but he still has the power to go and tell on them to the king. So therefore, according to Emas Nochri Alein, we would say if he's an unimportant guy, then it doesn't make a difference one way or the other. Whereas according to the second reason, we would say that whether unimportant or not, either way, he has the ability to go and master them to the king. Okay, the Rambam Paskin is like the first one, Emas Nochri Aleihem, and therefore it means he has to be an Adam Choshu, because again, the Rambam learns that the point is that the Goy prevents them from opening things, so therefore, if he's an unimportant Goy, then they're not afraid to open things, they're not going to pay any attention to him. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said the same way if thieves had returned kalim that they stole, then we say we trust them to say that they didn't touch anything else in the house. So the Gemara says, Ramini, I have a contradiction. Also from a Mishnah over there in Taurus, the same Mishnah actually, if thieves go into a house, only the area where their feet stepped is Tomei, meaning, in other words, any kalim that were on the floor in the areas where they're stepping, we assume to be Tomei. So fine, we're not going to say that everything else in the house is Tomei if we don't have any evidence that they touched anything else in the house. But at least the things that are in their path on the floor are Tomei. Certainly, Rashi adds, they're the ones that they picked up and stole, and now they're returning. For sure, we should assume they made them Tomei. So what is it? Maybe they use them, or just the fact that they touched them. And the answer is Amara Pinchas Mishmei de Rab or de Rabba, it says on the side. Anyway, Kisha Osu Tshuva. Our Mishnah is talking about when they did Tshuva. So therefore, they're not going to lie. The Mishnah in Taurus is talking about when they didn't do Tshuva. So then we have to assume that anything that they might have touched, namely at least anything in their path, that might be Tomei. But here we're talking about they returned the Kalim. Therefore, we can trust them when they say we didn't use these Kalim or we didn't handle them in a way that would make them Tomei, then we can trust them. but they're doing tshuva after all. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, after all, we can see that from the words of the Mishnah, Dekatani Shech Zidu Es HaKelim, because it says they returned the Kelim, implying that they did tshuva. Shmamina, so good, that proves that that's what we're talking about. The reason why, by the way, was so why don't we say that everything else in the house is Tomei as well, when they didn't do tshuva, the reason is because they're in a hurry. They want to grab something and run out quickly. They don't want to stay in there too long because the Balabas might come home. Therefore, we don't assume that they rummaged through everything else in the house. Therefore, we can assume that only the area where they're stepping is Tomei, because those they would grab and run, but not necessarily anything else. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Yerushalayim ne'emanan ala kodesh. In Yerushalayim, we trust these gaboyim or these ganovim regarding kodesh as well. So what does that mean? We already said that we trust them as far as kodesh. So it means tana. We learn in a brisa ne'emanan al klei cheres gasin lakodesh. It means that up until now we've only been talking about small earthenware kelim. Now we're saying that in Yerushalayim we trust them even regarding the tara of large klei cheres, the kind that you use for long term storage of wine or oil or whatever. V'chol kach loma. Why is that? And that applies. So we're saying we trust them even on klei cheres hagasim. Certainly, we trust them on dakin. Both Rashi and Tosfos point that out from the Yerushalmi. But why? So the b'chol kach loma is everything that we've been talking about so far as earthenware kelim. Why are we allowed to buy small earthenware kelim from potters between Medim and Yerushalayim, even though the potters are Amei Aretz? Why over here are we saying that we trust the gaboyim or the ganovim, even about large earthenware kelim in Yerushalayim? The reason is she'ein oisim kibshonis b'Yerushalayim, because like we said before, you're not allowed to have kilns for making their pottery in Yerushalayim, so necessarily they have to bring all their pottery from outside. So now, when it comes to small containers, usually, so small containers everybody uses. Everybody uses them on a day-to-day basis. And like we said, anybody who cooks a shlomim or any other korban in a pot is going to have to break the pot afterwards because there's no way to kasher it. So the Chachamim made kulas. Now, when it comes to large kelim, though, usually the only ones who use such large kelim in Yerushalayim are the people who are dealing with the gizbarim who are dealing with the property of hekdesh. Balei alishka, Rashi says, the ones who take care of the lishka where they keep wine and oil for the bris mikdash. So with them, we don't give them the dispensation of min ha-medim v'lefnim, because they're not such a large clientele. They only need, they're a smaller group of people. They're only dealing with the wine and oil of the bris mikdash directly. So with them, we only give them kulis in Yerushalayim itself, that if gaboyim or ganovim came into their house, we'll trust them to say that they didn't touch those large kelim, so that the balei alishka don't have to break those kelim and buy new ones. But other than that, we're going to say that they can only buy these large kelim right outside Yerushalayim. They can't go as far as Medim and buy them over there. Then we said in the Mishnah, "V'shasa regal afalatruma." We said that during Yom Tov, we trust these gaboyim or ganovim, even regarding the tara of truma. And more generally, we said before that we trust Amei Aretz about that. So, Manani Mili, where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Shoban Levi, the Omakra. The pasuk says, "Va'yosef kol ish Yisrael alair." This is talking about in the story of Pelegish Begiva. So, all the Jewish people gathered, all the other Shvatim except for Shevet Binyamin, gathered around the city of Giva, ki'ish echad chaverim, and they were like one man, or chaverim, or friends, or colleagues. So therefore, it means akosav asan kulam chaverim. So it means when the Jewish people are all gathered together, then the pasuk considers them all chaverim. Chaverim means, we've said before, means people who are careful in Tumah v'Tahara. So therefore, from that pasuk, now the whole thing is d'rabbanan. The whole concept that Amei Aretz is Tomei itself, or Tomei itself is d'rabbanan. But the point is, we have an asmachta in this pasuk for the idea that at the time of Yom Tov, when all the Jewish people are gathering, then we can consider them chaverim, and therefore we consider that they're tahor, which is going to be the subject of the next two mishnayos. That the fact that we suspend the tumah of an Amei Aretz during Yom Tov. An interesting point in this regard is the Yerushalmi learns that concept from a different pasuk in Tillim. Ki'ir shechubra lo yachdav shesham olu shvatim shivtei ka. that the cheshechobra is also meloshen chaverim. So when everybody is gathering in the city of Yerushalayim, then we consider them to be chaverim. There's a sicha in Chelek Lamed Zayin where the Rebbe analyzes, or a Rambam sicha, where the Rebbe analyzes the psukim that are given here in the Bavli versus in the Yerushalmi, and also the understandings of Rashi versus the Rambam about why we're doing this. Rashi doesn't say over here, but Rashi in a different place says the reason is basically because we don't want to embarrass them. If we make that the Amei Ha'aretz are Tomei, even during the Yom Tovim, we would be embarrassing them publicly, and we don't want to do that. And we learned previously on Daf Chav Beis, we don't want that they were going to say, you know what, I'll go build my own Bais Mikdash, I'll go make a Bama for myself. So therefore, whereas the Rambam phrases it, that the reason is because all the Jewish people make themselves Tahor in order to be Olah L'Regel, so they are in fact Tahor. And then the Rebbe analyzes in that Sicha, now we're going to learn in the following Mishnayos, that what happens is we do consider them to be Tahor during the Yom Tovim. However, really, all along they were Tomei. Therefore, right after the Yom Tov, whatever it was they touched during Yom Tov, we're going to consider retroactively Tomei. So now, so the Rebbe discusses in that Sicha then, so according to the Rambam, if they're Metahar themselves, then why should that be? The fact is they were Metahar themselves. Why after Yom Tov does it go back to being Tomei? And so the idea is, and the pasuk that we're mentioning over here, ki ish echad chaverim, means that when all the Jewish people are gathered together, and it doesn't even have to be in Yerushalayim, the pasuk we're talking about over here is they're gathering by Pelegesh, is they're gathering by Giva, by Givas Binyamin. Only the pasuk the Yerushalmi brings mentions Yerushalayim. So therefore, the idea is that Eber says, when all the Jewish people are gathered together, then they become a new Metzius. They become a Metzius Tzibur. And therefore, different rules apply. Whereas after Yom Tov, when everybody leaves and goes back home, then the Metzius of the Tzibur goes away, then they go back to being Yechidim. So then, as Yechidim, then their Tomei and whatever they touched on an individual basis over Yom Tov goes back to the usual rules of Tumah V'Tahara. Only during Yom Tov, because temporarily they were at Tzibur, then therefore we suspend the rules of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Mishnah continues, HaPeseach es Chavisa, if a person opened up a barrel, for example, of wine, and the idea was, so he's a chaver, he has a store in Yerushalayim, and he's selling wine, so people come throughout the Yom Tov to buy wine from him, Amei Ha'aretz and Chaverim, everybody is touching the barrel, and touching even the contents of the barrel, because like they'd put a finger in, for example, to get a taste of the wine or whatever. So he opened up his barrel, he didn't sell the whole thing over Yom Tov. Now the question is, what happens after Yom Tov? Is he allowed to still consider the remaining contents of it tahor? Or the same thing, if he began a batch of dough, where again the idea is people are coming during Yom Tov and buying pieces of dough from him. Al Gav HaRegel, he did that preparing for the Yom Tov, which means, by the way, not even during the Yom Tov itself. Siach Yitzchok says it means even he's doing it before the Yom Tov, getting ready for Yom Tov. So now what happens after Yom Tov? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmer. Rabbi Yehuda says that he's allowed to complete it, which the Gemara in Beitza explains that Rabbi Yehuda considers this an example of hitirus soifan mashum tchilasan, that there are certain cases when even though a later stage of something really by rights ought to be osur, the chachamim are allowing it because otherwise if you don't allow him the later stage, he's not going to do the earlier stage either. The Gemara in Beitza gives a few examples. For example, one example over there is you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, you know. Now, in principle, you shouldn't be allowed to do anything with the skin. The problem is, that if you do that, if you prevent him from doing anything with the skin, and it's going to spoil by Motzi Yom Tov, nobody's going to want a shecht on Yom Tov, and then you're not going to have meat for Yom Tov. So therefore, tiros seifin mishum tchilasan, the Chachamim allowed him to do a certain limited thing with the skin to prevent it from getting spoiled. He's allowed to put it on the ground over there so people will step on it, and that starts the process of hardening it and tanning it or whatever. So that's an example. So there are such examples of tiros seifin mishum tchilasan. So Rabbi Yehuda says that our Mishnah is another example of that. If you don't allow him to sell the rest of his wine after Yom Tov, assuming that it's tahor, he's not going to want to open the barrel before Yom Tov to sell anybody at all. And then we're going to miss out on Simchas Yom Tov. So therefore, since we consider during Yom Tov itself that the Amei Ha'aretz are Tahor, then we're allowed to consider, says Rabbi Yehuda, that even after Yom Tov, whatever they touch, we're still going to consider Tahor until that barrel is empty. The Chachamim say that not. They don't hold, they now they hold of their concept of itiru soifim mishum tchilasan, but they say over here it's not really a case of that. You could always, for example, when the Amei Haaretz are going to your store, you tell them to begin with, be careful, don't put your fingers inside the wine. If you want a taste of the wine, then ask me and I'll give you some or whatever. So therefore, so there is a way of avoiding the Amei Haaretz from touching it in the first place, and therefore the Chacham are going to say it's not itiru soifim mishum tchilasan. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rab Ami Rab Yitzchak Napcha Akilo de Rab Yitzchak Napcha. One time Rab Ami and Rab Yitzchak Napcha were sitting by the kila of Rab Yitzchak Napcha. So the kila means the front porch or the entryway or something like that. Posach Chad V'Omar, one of them started the conversation asking, Maushi Anichena L'Regel Acher. Now, according to the Chachamim, that was saying that the chaver is not allowed to assume after Yom Tov that the remainder of this wine or this dough is tahor. He has to assume the fact is Amei Haaretz touched it during Yom Tov. Therefore, now after Yom Tov, we go back to the usual rules. Whatever an Amei Haaretz touched is tahor. Would the chaver be allowed to leave that barrel of wine, let's say, until the next Yom Tov and then consider it tahor again? So the other one says, what are you talking about? Yada koma mashmashunba. Everybody was touching it throughout the Yom Tov, including Amei Haaretz. You're saying you should leave it over for another Yom Tov? How is it possible? Well, of course, it became Tomei from the Amei Haaretz touching it. So the first one says, nu, otu adhu idna lav yada koma mashmashunba. Nu, and during the first Yom Tov, everybody was touching it also. And still we're saying that during the Yom Tov, we're considering it Tahar. So why shouldn't we say the same thing over here during the next Yom Tov? Omalei, and the second one says, Hochi Hashta. How are you comparing the two cases? Bishle ma'ada idna tuma sama aretz beregol brachmanatara. Up until now, we're saying that there is the usual tuma of an ama aretz, but on Yom Tov, the Torah says it's Torah. By the way, we're saying Rachmana, which usually means the Torah, which would mean that this is Doraisa, even though we said before, it's not really Doraisa, it's really Dirabana. But okay, we had a positive by Yosef Kolishisur Chaverim, so therefore we're calling it in a looser sense Rachmana. Anyway, so during the Yom Tov, yeah, you usually have a Tumah of the Amei Haaretz. But now, during the Yom Tov, based on that Pasuk, we're saying it's Tahor. Ela Hash, that's me. But now, after the Yom Tov, it's Tahor. You have no basis to say that you can keep it until the next Yom Tov, and it should be considered Tahor again. So the Gemara says, Neima Ketanoi. Well, can we say that that is subject to a machlokas tanoim? Meaning, we had it in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says Yigmar, but leaving aside Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, he says that you can finish it even after the Yom Tov. You don't even have to wait for the next Yom Tov. But within the Chachamim's opinion that say Lo Yigmer, can we say that there's Machlokas Tanoim, whether the Chachamim would allow you to leave it over for the next Yom Tov? The Tony Choda Yanichena L'Regel Acher, because after all, you have one Braisa says you can leave it for the next Yom Tov, but Tanya Idach Lo Yanichena L'Regel Acher, and another Braisa says you can't. My Lav Tanoi. So we should assume that that is a Machlokas Tanoim within the opinion of the Chachamim. So therefore, the answer to the question, are you allowed to leave it for another Yom Tov, would be within the opinions of the Chachamim, there's Machlokas Tanoim of two different braises. The Gemara says, not necessarily. You could say, the one that says you can leave it for the next Yom Tov is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The one who says that you can't leave it would be according to the Chachamim. Since the Halacha is like the Chachamim, then that's it. It would mean you can't leave it over. The Gemara says, the Tisperah, how could you think it could be that way? Rabbi Yehuda says you can finish it after Yom Tov. He doesn't even require you to leave it over for the next Yom Tov. So why would Yanichena be according to Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is you're right. Ella hodakatoni lo Yanichena Rabbi Yehuda. The other way around, the Braisa that says you don't leave it over for the next Yom Tov is according to Rabbi Yehuda. But hodakatoni Yanichena Rabbanon, the one that says you can leave it over, would be according to the Chachamim, umay lo Yanichena. So what does the braisa mean when it says don't leave it over? It doesn't mean you can't leave it over. It means ain't sorich lahanicha. You don't need to leave it over according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't even need to. You can finish it right after that Yom Tov until it's used up. You're still allowed to use it and consider it tahor. So there's no proof that we have two braises disagreeing what the Chachamim say. On the contrary, we could say that we could learn either way. We could learn that both braises are within the opinion of the Chachamim, and therefore there's a machlokas tanoim. But we could also learn that the braise that's saying Yanichena is according to the Chachamim, and therefore that would mean even the Chachamim would allow you to leave it over for the next Yom Tov and use it then. So we're not sure. Okay. Mishnah says, Misha over her regal. after Yom Tov was over, Mavirin al Taras Azara. They would be Mavir on we'll explain in a second what the word Mavir means, al Taras Azara, for the Tara of the Azara. You consider, you have throughout the Yom Tov, people are coming on Aliyah L'Regel, including Amei Ha'aretz, and some of them are even touching the Kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. First of all, you have Koyanim, who are Amei Ha'aretz, and are coming and participating in the Avodah. You also have Yisraelim that are allowed to touch certain of the Kalim, as we're going to discuss later. So therefore, so now, after Yom Tov, again, the Tumah of the Amei Ha'aretz was only suspended during the Yom Tov. Again, according to Rashi, in order not to embarrass them, and according to the Rambam, the way that Rebbe explains it, because during that time they constituted a tzibur. But after Yom Tov, retroactively, it's Tomei. So now we need to clean up the Azara. We need to be Matahar, the Kalim in the Azara. Rashi explains the word Mavirin means we move the Kalim from their places because we need to go and Tovel them. There's a few other explanations among Rishonim. The Tosfos Rid says that the word Mavirin means they announce. They announce we have to retire the Azara. And the Meiri gives a couple of explanations, well, a couple of other explanations. One of them, he says, is Ma'avirin, means they set everything else aside. They set all their other jobs aside in order to do the Taras Azara. So the next Mishnah is going to explain how they did it. But first, our Mishnah discusses the scheduling. Ovo haregel l'yoyim shishi, if Yom Tov is over on Friday, or actually, most of them, of course, should explain that it means if the Yom Tov ended on Thursday and Friday is Isruchag, loy ha'yom avirin, then they wouldn't take care of the Tara of the Azara on that day. They would wait till after Shabbos. Mipnei kvod Shabbos, because of the honor of Shabbos, they have to be preparing. They have to be the Kohenim have households of their own. After all, they have to be preparing for Shabbos on Friday. If you make them be matahar the Azara, they don't have time to take care of things in their houses. Rabbi Yehuda says not even if it was on Thursday, meaning, again, according to most of the Mephoshim, it means if Isru Chag is on Thursday. So if Yom Tov ended on Wednesday, even if Isru Chag is on Thursday, you also wouldn't do the Taras Azara then, says Rabbi Yehuda. You'd wait till after Shabbos, but Shein HaKoyinim Knuyin, because the Koyinim do not have free time on the day on Isru Chag. So what do we mean they don't have free time? Tana. So the Gemara says, we learn in a Braisa, Shein HaKoyinim Pnuyin Milahoytzi Badeshin. Because on Isru Chag, the Koyinim are busy removing the ashes from the Mizbeach. You had in the middle of the Mizbeach, there was a pile called the Tapuach, where they would put the ashes. Normally, they'd clean it off on a regular basis. You have every day, the Trumas Hadeshin, where they take a little bit of it off the Mizbeach and put it on the floor next to the Mizbeach, which we say in morning davening, the Somei Eitzel HaMizbeach. But then after that, whenever the pile got big, then they would take it outside Yerushalayim and deposit it over there. However, during Yom Tovim, during the Shalosh Regalim, they would not, because it looked more beautiful that the Mizbeach had a huge pile of ashes on it. It showed how many korbanos were being brought. So now after Yom Tov, they have a huge cleanup job. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says they're too busy with that on Isru Chag to be able to also deal with being the Tahar of the Azara. Therefore, so if Yom Tov ended on any other day of the week, then fine. On Isru Chag, they do that. And the next day, then they do Taras Azara. But when Isru Chag is on Thursday, says Rabbi Yehuda, then Thursday they're busy with cleaning the ashes off from the Mizbeach. Friday, we don't want to make them do the Taras Azara because they're busy preparing in their own households for Shabbos. So therefore, in that case also, Rabbi Yehuda says, we're going to leave the Taras Azara until Sunday. I think
we'll
leave the last Mishnah and the Gemara on it for tomorrow, Beth Hashem. Sometimes it happens, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Shakoyach, everyone. Tomorrow, Beth Hashem, we'll take up from the last Mishnah over here on the Amud and continue and finish off the Masechta, and with it the entire Seder Moed. Mazel Tov, everyone.
Yeah, Mazel Tov.